Welcome to Catholic Sports View on Immaculate Heart Radio. A look at the athletes and coaches who shape the Trinity League. Exploring where athletics meets faith. Now, here is your host, Bob Gibson.
Thanks again for joining us this week. I am Bob Gibson, and later on in the show, we're going to take you out to the opening of the Great Park Sports Park in the city of Irvine. We'll hear some snippets from the press conference opening that great facility that's going to end up being 2.5 times the size of Disneyland once it's all said and done. An impressive facility for sure. We're also going to hear from the Orange Lutheran High football program, one of the top programs in the Trinity League. We'll hear from some of their players as well as their head coach, J.P. Presley. But let's kick off this week with some very special news, and that is modern day quarterback JT Daniels has made his decision where he's going to go to college. One of the top prospects in the entire nation. He set records all across the board. And we talked with Ryan Abraham, the editor of USCFootball.com, and that should give you a hint of where JT is going to go to college. In a couple of years, he's still just going into his junior season. He has 2 more seasons at Mater Dei. He will then be a USC Trojan. And we talked with Ryan Abraham about that decision and how it impacts the USC football program. Ryan, thanks for taking a couple of minutes to talk with us here this week.
No problem, Bob. We're just excited that football's coming back around again. It's so many months you don't have it, so it's great to get it back.
It's so true. There's nothing like the start of football season, and you can feel it in the air now. I was out at Santa Margarita recently, and I was asking Coach Rich Fisher out there. I said, does it feel like football now? And he said, yeah, it really does feel like football now, finally. So we have you on. We want to talk about one of the big commits, and that is to USC. And, of course, you know, you run the website, USCFootball.com, as part of the Scout.com network. JT Daniels has made his commitment, and it's been much talked about for a long time, but I don't think it was really a surprise when it came down to it that USC is going to be his college home in a couple of years.
Yeah, you know, he's a kid that we've been watching since really like the 8th grade on the 7-on-7 circuit. Just kind of seen him coming up through the ranks and all the touchdowns he throws. I mean, it's hard not to notice him, and a lot of USC fans on our message board were wondering, is JT Daniels going to commit? Now, they had a commitment from Matt Corral, who's another 5-star quarterback who went from Oaks Christian and transferred down to Long Beach Poly. There was some sort of falling out there. He ends up decommitting and then committing to Florida fairly recently. So USC fans were wondering, well, what's going to happen? Could it be a JT Daniels, or do they try to get someone else in the class of 2018? And it turns out that, you know, Clay Helton was working on this. JT Daniels seemed excited to what USC had to say, and they end up hooking up there. So it's interesting, you know, if Sam Darnold ends up leaving early, USC would only have 2 scholarship quarterbacks. So they might still have to take someone in 2018, but I think Clay Helton liked what he saw enough from JT Daniels looking that someone like him could be the future of the program. So they wanted to get that deal done.
Yeah, I think sometimes it's lost on people that JT is just going into his junior season at Mater Dei. Not a senior. He's not a class of 2018 kid. He's a 2019 kid. How much does that affect what a college coach kind of looks at down the line? Is it tough to say, well, right, I may have that year in between if my starting quarterback now heads to the pros?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's going to be somewhat of a juggling act, and you're just not really sure what Sam Darnold's going to do. Now, if Sam Darnold comes back and does play for his redshirt junior year, then it shouldn't be a problem. But if he is gone and USC's only left with 2 scholarship quarterbacks, you might end up taking somebody else in this class that maybe they weren't recruiting that hard, knowing that JT Daniels is there, and whoever they bring in, you know, would know, hey, there's going to be JT Daniels coming in next year. So, yeah, so I think there's a lot of it's kind of a balancing act, I guess you can say. And with Matt Corral, if Matt Corral was still committed, we're not sure if JT Daniels would want to come in and follow another 5-star quarterback. But something that USC's been doing for years, you're always bringing in these top quarterbacks. I mean, every quarterback that's started games for USC has gone on to the NFL for years and years. So there's that pedigree there. So you want to go, you want to know, and people want to come in and compete. So the way this is working out now, I'm not really sure how it's going to go. You could see Sam Darnold maybe coming back for a year, and that, you know, kind of open things up, and it could just be the JT Daniels show, or they might have to take someone in this class too. We're just not sure how it's going to work out yet.
Yeah, a lot of dominoes need to fall in a lot of different places. Ryan Abraham joining us from USCFootball.com. We're talking JT Daniels. He made his commitment, announcing on Twitter recently that he will be a USC Trojan in a couple of years at after he finishes off his next two seasons at Modern Day. I think you guys had him ranked as the number six overall player and the number one pro-style quarterback for his class. You've obviously seen him a bunch of times. What are the things that stand out about you? What do you like about JT?
Yeah, I mean, when you just look at his touchdown to interception ratio is ridiculous. I mean, I think he threw 75% completion percentage last year, and, you know, get to see him a lot on the 7-on-7 circuit. And I think when you start off as young as he did, and you're playing, you know, like on eighth grade teams, and you're facing off against juniors and seniors and able to get close and win some of those games, you kind of knew, like, wow, okay, this kid's pretty special. And I got to see him a lot this offseason, and throwing to like Amon-Ra St. Brown and just having like great connections there. And they have obviously a lot of talent on Modern Day, but you get to see what he's able to do. And he's more, to me, more of a pro style guy. I think if you look at his 40 time, I think he probably ran about the same time as a Sam Darnold, like a 4.9 or something like that, but maybe not as quick kind of moving around in the pocket. And I think that's something that he's really working on. And, you know, he's not going to be, you know, as athletic as a guy like Sam Darnold, but he has his own athleticism. He's not a guy, you know, that's going out and running for, you know, 100 yards a game. But I think that's something he's focusing on and working on, because in the USC system, you don't have to necessarily be a running quarterback, but it's nice to be able to escape pressure and be able to find someone downfield when you get out of the pocket and not just run out of bounds for a couple of yards. So I think that's something he's working on. But everything else you see about him, his vision, his presence, his knowledge of the offense, he seems to know what the other team's going to do before they even do it. We're just watching on the sideline, it's funny to watch this kid. So he just seems to know the quarterback position so well for being as young as he is. And so I think he's going to bring a lot to the next level.
Yeah, the fact that Bruce Rawlinson's letting him call his own plays at the line as a sophomore, I mean, that says a lot, right?
Yeah, you don't see him do that kind of stuff. It just, you know, he's talked about him as being like an offensive coordinator that's wearing a helmet.
Yeah,
yeah, you know, Bruce doesn't really give the reins up all that often, as you know. So that's pretty high praise, I would say.
Yeah, so true. Ryan Abraham joining us from USCfootball.com. We're talking JT Daniels and USC football. Obviously, there's been such a pipeline of modern-day quarterbacks going directly to USC, you know, from Carson Palmer to Matt Barkley that we've seen over the past several years. You know, Sam Darnold now came, of course, from San Clemente, but that Orange County connection into USC, is it hard not to compare each one of these guys to the predecessors?
It is. It's hard. There's like this Orange County mafia, I think, of boosters that just kind of keep trying to feed quarterbacks from Orange County. And I remember when like a John David Booty came to USC out of Louisiana. It wasn't, you know, the Orange County contingent of USC fans wasn't happy. They want someone from Orange County starting. And typically it is, if Mark Sanchez or Matt Leinart, there's so many Orange County quarterbacks. So it's nice to see like another one in that, you know, line of succession. And, you know, when you get a guy like a Sam Darnold come in who wasn't even like the highest rated quarterback that USC brought in that class, and then, you know, comes out and he's now a favorite to win the Heisman Trophy. It just helps. You know, then you get a Jack Sears from San Clemente. So I think that pipeline, the more success these quarterbacks keep having, I think the more that pipeline will keep going. And JT Daniels just seems to be the next guy in that succession.
We hear that JT took a trip out to Michigan to maybe take a look out there at Jim Harbaugh's program. Did you get any kind of a sense of how close maybe Michigan came to stealing him away?
You know, I think he really enjoyed the Michigan trip. I mean, it's funny, when you talk any of the recruits we talk to about Jim Harbaugh, he's like a superstar out there. He's like this, his presence. He came to the USC camp, we saw him, and people flocked to him, fans, players, everything. So he's really done a lot as far as Michigan recruiting goes. And I think any player, including JT, if you're going to go talk to him, you're going to end up being impressed. But I really think once the Matt Corral situation and they, you know, USC and Matt Corral parted ways, it just seemed to open things up for JT Daniels. I think that was something that, and he wanted to commit early. He didn't want to go into his junior year having this over him. He doesn't seem like a guy that's going to be, at least, you know, what he's saying, switching around to it. This is what he wants to do. He wants to actually start helping USC recruit for the class of 2018, even though, like you said, he's not coming until the next year, class of 2019. But I think there was a shot there. But once Matt Corral decommitted, I think it was, the writing was kind of on the wall.
His teammate there, Amon-Ra St. Brown, maybe that's a guy he wants to get over there as well. They've got a pretty good connection going at Modern Day.
Those guys are really, really good together. If anyone's gone out to see a game, or you especially, man, on the 7-on-7 circuit, I would put up, we'd shoot the highlights of them. And, you know, usually you're shooting receiver highlights for a day, and it's hard to get, you know, maybe get four or five catches. And he would have so many catches, like the video reel was too long. I'm like, this is only one guy making all these grabs. So it's crazy. He's really good. He's ridiculously good. JT's really good with him. So I am sure JT is in his ear a little bit trying to see where, you know, he's going to end up committing.
Obviously, when you get players at this high of a level, then there's so much time to take a look at them on film in person. You can start to pick apart. And I've even heard from people that say, oh, he's overrated. You know, JT's not going to be, he's got no growth left in him. Everybody's an expert, right? I mean, but how much growth do you think is left in his game and you look forward to his college career?
You know, I try to talk to some of the quarterback gurus out there that watch him, and, you know, I watch him a lot myself and just trying to come up with your own. And it seems like he's gotten better every year. It's not one of those, you see players sometimes that have kind of maxed out the potential. It just, to me, and the people I've talked to, it doesn't seem like that's the case with JT. I think most of the criticism you see is because, like, a Sam Darnold's having so much success and he's more of an athletic guy, they're like, well, he's a statue, which I don't believe he is. I don't think he's a statue. I think he can move around okay. And knowing that he knows the position so well, he sees that and says, you know what, I can do this a little bit better. If I can move in the pocket a little bit quicker, or if I can get outside the pocket and find someone downfield when, you know, I give up the coverage some extra time to break down and give my receivers a chance to get open, I can make more big plays. So I think that's something he realizes and something he's definitely working on. I don't see it as a limitation. I think there's still a lot of upside for JT from what I've seen.
You know, obviously all the tumult at USC has kind of gotten, pushed to the past now, and with Clay Helton taking over and everybody seemingly excited about the new era at USC. How big of a get was this for Clay to get JT Daniels in here?
No, I think it's a big one. And, you know, especially with losing another one in Matt Corral, another 5-star guy, then people start to question He's like the adult in the room. You trust him. And I think that he's really good at recruiting the families. I think that's something that resonates with these recruits. And we've seen him recruit really, really well. And this is just another example of that.
Hey, Ryan, I want to thank you for joining us here on Catholic Sports. So once again, we want to remind everybody, USCfootball.com is the site. You got to go there on our show. Ryan, thanks again for joining us, and we'll talk to you soon.
No problem, Bob. Thanks.
All right, that's Ryan Abraham from USCfootball.com. Stay with us. Much more right here on Catholic Sports View when we come back on Immaculate Heart Radio. Welcome back to Catholic Sports View. Well, we recently visited with the Orange Lutheran Lancer football program, and that means we're talking with new head coach J.P. Presley. He's a former Lancer player himself. He took over this program, and he's got high hopes going into this new football season.
All right, Coach, obviously it's hot, it's still summer, but does it finally feel like football season to you?
Absolutely, absolutely. I think, you know, you start putting the helmets on and you're talking to your equipment guy and you're realizing it's already the end of July and August is here and faculty meetings are starting, but, it's one of those things that that's why we've been training since January, just for these moments.
Right. It might be a bit of a cliche, but have you been able to put the J.P. Presley imprint on the program yet at this point?
Absolutely. I think the biggest thing is you always remember that you're an extension of the Orange Lutheran High School. And so the standard, the premium, all those things in Christ Jesus is number one, I think, for me, is reminding them of the school that they attend and the premium that they get here, and kind of understanding my what my boundaries are, what our identity is going to be, and move forward and really have them buy in. And our whole theme has been ownership. You guys take ownership of this program. It's built for you.
Right.
I'm here to lead you.
Is that a little easier because the kids know when they come here to go to school as students, right, that there's a certain standard that they're expected to attain, right?
Absolutely. It's, obviously being a part of the school and understanding the mission and the standard, whether they're a teacher, whether they're a coach, the expectation is still the same. You know, the hard work, the communication, understanding that these young men are going to grow in a variety of places. And as a coach, you get to meet young men in a variety of their growth process. And I think I get to do it in a different way, in a platform that requires resiliency and facing adversity and really just loving each other and uniting and being this one unit.
It really is a brotherhood, isn't it?
Absolutely. I think that's with football. You know, a lot of guys can use that as a cliche. We really call ourselves a unit, as it talks about family. And we started with that in the beginning, learning to trust each other, learning to care about each other, and understand that we all have the shared values. We all have the same place where we want to be. It's how we're going to get there together. Because you can either, you know, go fast and go alone, or you can go far and go together. Mm-hmm. And that's been a big piece of who we are. You know, there's not one link that's better. There's not, we're all one here.
Does it carry maybe a little more weight with the kids, the fact that, you know, you're the coach now and telling them these things, but that you've lived it. You were a student here. You were in their shoes once upon a time.
Absolutely. I think the big plus, too, is, yes, understanding, you know, go Big Red, you know, understanding Orange Lutheran and being a part of the school when, you know, it had 450 students, and understanding that, you know, we played our home games outside on the football field on Saturdays, and now we've moved to a different ball game. But I think it's just, they see the love, they see the care of what it means to put that L on your helmet. And I think they bought in, especially with a lot of the relationships that I've had with the players, the student athletes, since they started. You know, I've had them as freshmen, I had them as sophomores, I've watched some of them grow. I had a freshman team last year, so they kind of understand, like, my standard. They understand, like, I'm going to communicate very clear on my expectations of who they are and the type of men that they're going to be.
That's great, because, you know, what I think it's really important, you know, that the kids know all that stuff, right? So once they hit camp, they know what's expected of them. And then that way, you know, you can just sort of settle into football, right? Now you can work on X's and O's and really get down to work in that area.
Absolutely. It's probably the biggest piece is when you work with young people or you work with teenagers, understanding that they know that you care about them.
Yeah.
And understand that you're going to try and transform them from the inside out, and understand that those values will come out in wins. They will come out in victories. They will come out in losses on who they are. And that's my big thing right now, is they've taken ownership of who we're going to be.
Orange Lutheran head coach J.P. Presley joining us this week on Catholic Sports View. We're right at Orange Lutheran High School visiting with the Lancers. Speaking of X's and O's, I mean, you're right, you get down to it, and right, you always start with the quarterback position.
Yes.
And, you know, you got an embarrassment of riches here at that quarterback position. It starts with Mr. Helinski.
Correct.
And he looks really good. He looked good a year ago. I'm sure he's going to be that much better this year.
Well, especially with Ryan, you know, coming in as a sophomore, being a transfer, right, kind of coming in and understanding Orange Lutheran in mm-hmm. general, but then now having a full season under his belt, being part of the school and understanding that, you know, and really investing in him as a type of leader, you know, and developing that, you know, is you have an expectation for kids to lead, mm-hmm. right? But if you don't teach them, they're not going to know. And so I spent a lot of time with Ryan, and Ryan wants it. He has a desire to win. I mean, he spends an enormous amount of time outside of practice on his trade.
Does he feel more comfortable this year, not only in the huddle, but leading his teammates, being that he's not the new guy now on the block?
For sure. I think, you know, he kind of got into a quarterback leadership position that we all assume that they should be. But I think now that they've seen, you know, you spend time in the weight room, you go through the spring, you go through long summers, you know, guys start rallying around him, understanding his heart, and then that gets contagious. And I'm just trying to support that impact that he has as a leader, and then get guys around him that want to lead as well. We've definitely laid the foundation to be successful.
Speaking of guys around him, you know, you have some position players already there. A couple of transfers came into town here, and you really seem to be set now. Are you starting to see this offense kind of gel or starting to come around?
Absolutely. We've worked really hard. I mean, anytime you go into a new offense, you look for every opportunity to teach it, right? And so we invested a lot more time in our seven-ons and doing competitive tournaments, so that we can install on real time, on a real game type of situation. And so having new guys come in, and like I said, having a foundation of players who've taken ownership in the program that say, hey, this guy needs to learn. I've got, you know, Elijah Maharo, who is a returning tight end for us now with an Ethan Ray, and watching those two work together. I have a Jackson Cloyd, who was here last year, watching those three. I've got Ender Aguilar, who's coming up as a tight end. You know, big bodies that are trying to make each other better. And I've seen the way practice has changed just with the competitive nature of these players.
Right. That's so important, right, is to get the competition in practice. That's what's going to breed itself into game day.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Speaking of which, when you take a look at your schedule, you know, obviously you start off in the Honor Bowl, right?
I mean, we start off against La Mirada.
Oh, excuse me, you're right, La Mirada. You're right, week one or week zero.
Yes.
Right, and then you're going to participate in the Honor Bowl this year.
Super excited about that.
Right, huge event, right? I mean, we just had Mark Soto on the show a couple of weeks ago. We talked to him about the event. We're planning on being down there to cover the game. So obviously, it's got to be a huge experience for you and what you're hoping the kids get out of it as well.
Absolutely, I think. You know, you're always, as a coach, looking for opportunities to teach, right? Opportunities to teach that outside of football, you know, life lessons bigger than just the 48 minutes that you have in the biggest game. And I think the Honor Bowl really helps us put an exclamation mark on all the pillars that we've been putting into, from character and accountability and discipline and never quit. And then to see the product of that outside of football, to be able to play in that game, truly is an honor.
Right, and it's a Cathedral Catholic, well, big program back down in San Diego. Yeah. That's going to be enough of a mountain to climb in itself. You know, when you take a look at your schedule as a whole, you know, before you get into Trinity, because we know the Trinity is, right, forget
everyone
it.
Everyone knows the expectation there in the Trinity
League. Toughest league in America.
Absolutely.
Bar none. But are you happy with your pre-league, and is that going to help you get
for
to
sure.
that Trinity League?
Absolutely.
Schedule?
You know, you play a Vista Marietta, you play a La Mirada. Type of programs that have a lot of pride in their city and the kids play for the coaches. I think those are very similar programs to, say, what you get in the Trinity League as it relates to the city, the culture. Yeah. This is who we are, and I think those are important places. You know, we're playing Norco High School. Is a familiar opponent from last year. La Mirada, a very familiar opponent. But there's a lot of change, right? And so I think that's going to be the way that we adapt to who we are and test our pillars as well.
Right. And a lot of those programs are playing Trinity schools to get themselves ready as well. Yeah. So, you know, these are schools that aren't just, the Sisters of the Poor, quote unquote.
No.
These are good programs that are looking to come in and win a ball game from you as well.
Right. And I think anytime you play opponents that are just as excited to play you as you are them, really makes practice better and really kind of affirms the mission of what you're trying to do, to be tested.
Yeah.
And I think the best thing about high school sports is that kids are going to be tested and they're going to come out of it better than they started. And preparing them for that test, as any educator will say, is what you're all about. So.
Right at Orange Lutheran this week, talking with J.P. Presley, head football coach out here with the Lancers. Speaking of practice, you know, we know offensive players, you know, are very, you know, set on their drills and getting stuff done. But defensive players, a little different breed. You know, there comes a time when they're not happy just hitting their teammate across from them. They want to get into an opponent, right? Or your kids starting to get to that point where they want to get the pads on and to get a look at somebody other than their teammate?
I think every high school football player in Southern California right now is ready to see someone else.
Right.
But I think it's how you harness it. I think it's how you challenge your schedule. You have emphasis on certain days to not let it all out, but have opportunities where you get to see the burst, where you put some competitive fire into the kids, and then you go back. And we have to be healthy. We have to be consistent. We have to be smart with our players, and that's a big piece. So we challenge them, you know, on a day-to-day basis, but we do it in ways that's not just physical. It's mental and having them get here in the day, get their lifts in, do all those things, and be consistent, because we need to be a team that is consistent every week.
Right.
No dips.
Have you found those leaders on the field? You know, there's going to be a time when players, you know, they've heard your voice enough, they've heard the assistant coaches enough, but you're held accountable by your brother on the line next to you, or your guy next to you who says, hey, come on, dig down a little bit deeper. Have you found those guys on the field that are going to hold those other guys accountable?
Yeah, it's definitely, you know, I think it typically manifests around this time of year where the grind, where you're tired, you're doing the same monotony every day, and all you get, that's how you find your leaders, you know, that take the lead on making sure guys have their chin straps on all the time, you know, making sure that they're not late for practice. And so we're starting to see that kind of evolve. And, you know, with transfers and things like that, they've come to this program. They've come to the school first, right, because of what it stands for. And I want them to see the consistency of who we are as it relates to the school and our expectations of them as being young men growing in Christ. But I have a great classroom that I get to do it on the football field.
That's fun, isn't it?
That's the high energy. That's where I come from. That's how I live. And I think that is... Any coach in America was probably in that similar boat.
Yeah, so true.
We'll take a quick break here, and when we come back, more with head coach J.P. Presley, and then we'll hear from some of the top players that are going to lead Olu into battle this coming football season. Much more right here on Catholic Sports View when we come back. I've been Catholic Sports View. Well, we pick up our interview with Orange Lutheran High football coach J.P. Presley. We'll hear a little bit more about how he looks ahead to this football season. And then we're going to hear from some of the players that play for Orange Lutheran High School.
Obviously, offense is one thing. Defense is another thing. One thing I've noticed on the Trinity, especially in the last couple of years, is the special teams, really the emphasis on special teams. You know, in years past, it was an afterthought. Hey, if you found a kid who could be a kicker, if you found the kid who could punt, even better.
Yeah.
But we've seen some really good special teams players, right. Long snappers, you know, come out of this school here who have gone on to D1 programs.
Yeah.
I mean, how much of it is an emphasis for you to find those kids who can specialize in those special team spots?
Well, I think we've always taken on the mantra that you've got to find every edge, any opportunity on the field to be successful. We have a special teams coordinator who's been here for, over 8-9 years. So we have a lot of consistency. He's got a lot of experience. Everyone gets excited about special teams here. And that's not just a way for someone to get on the field that typically doesn't. Mm-hmm. We're going to make an impact. Field position is going to matter. We have to have those things. And it really helps us kick off practice, right, no pun intended, with having a special teams every single day. Because if we make it important, then the kids understand that that's a value. And once they understand it's a value, they're going to put it on their hearts and go through the wall for you. And that's where I'm at with special teams. Any edge that we can get, we will take.
Absolutely.
You need it.
And it might mean all the difference, especially in the Trinity.
Yep. Everybody, I think, is looking for, you know, it's not typically how fast you can score. It's how you manage a game. And I think special teams plays a huge role in that, in managing who we are and what we want to do and having our coordinators work together in a game, not just offense with offensive mind and special teams. Like, what do you need? Let's have some communication. So we've really worked that in as a staff, is working together, is finding ways to take an advantage of those things. Field position, what do you want to do on third down to set up something else? And so being as strategic as you can on everything looks good on the board, but it's until you actually execute it. And so that's why we make an emphasis on it.
Yeah, it's so true. Media types like myself, so many of us, I think we focus too much on, well, hey, you know, Mater Dei and Bosco are at the top of the heap right now as we speak. And we ask coaches like you, how are you going to get to their level? How are you going to become that team? But it's not so much about that as I'm hearing from coaches is saying, hey, if we do what we do, if we play our game, then we're going to get to the level we need to get to.
Right. And I think everybody grows in different periods. I mean, that's just how it is. And I think for us, it's one of those things, is understanding that their growth is in a different place than we are. But that doesn't mean that we don't do things to be competitive, meaning we have our vision, we have our goals, we have a great roster of youth, and we have a great roster of guys coming in that will make an immediate impact. I think the more ownership that you get and the more we create an identity of who we are, not just offense, not just defense, but us as a football program, mm-hmm. I think has always been there. I mean, we've been around for over 40 years at Orange Lutheran. You know, we've had the days of the Olympic League, the Empire League, and the Trinity League. So I've been through all three of those leagues as a player and as a coach. So understanding that impact and seeing the growth steps, I think we have a really good place, a great foundation with a wonderful school to be able to do those things.
Right.
When you grow fast and you starting from a, you know, a lower level and you have a vision and you're able to do those things, it's just a, you know, obviously God's hand on it and where he was taking the school and using Jim as a leader and a visionary to get you there. And now here we are in the past, you know, 9-10 years is we're at that top standard, right? We're at where everyone was shooting to be. And so I think from there is like you have to be sure you know who you are.
Yeah, obviously when you got here a year ago, you were, you know, the new kid on the block, having transferred in. Yeah, how comfortable are you now as a leader of this football team?
Well, Coach Presley and the team have definitely made me feel comfortable becoming the leader. Obviously, I'm the quarterback. I've got to be the guy out there on the field. You know, all the guys look to me, look at my body language, look at my energy when I come out on the field, and they feed off of me. So I'm really comfortable. I know with all the new coaching staff and all the guys here, a lot of transfers that we've recently got, I'm really comfortable with the team And just going out there and just having fun and being a leader for the guys, for sure.
Do you feel like the guys look at you now
way? Definitely. Yeah, definitely. I mean, the quarterback is, it's been proven in the past. Right. You know, the quarterback's the anointed leader.
Yeah.
But anyways, I took on that role as soon as I got here last year. And it's grown on me more. I've definitely become a bigger leader now, for sure.
It's got to help too that you know now you're more immersed in the playbook. Mm-hmm. You've had time you know to break down the film and get comfortable with teammates, right? Exactly. Especially getting a couple of new teammates that have transferred in recently. So it takes time to get on the same page, right?
Exactly. It's really good. It's with a lot of new guys, a lot of guys from past years. You know, we have some younger guys that have stepped up, sophomores that are going to be juniors, freshmen that are going to be sophomores. You know, I got to play a big role in a. This year, and I know with a bunch of guys, it's more of a brotherhood here than it was last year, for sure. So we all feel comfortable around each other, and especially out there on the field together, for sure.
Right. Yeah. Speaking of the brotherhood, you're the little brother of the Helensky family.
Yes, I'm the little brother of the Helensky family.
Remember your older brothers? Yeah. Your dad has been instrumental in helping you get to this point as well.
Yeah, my dad.
How much of an advantage, obviously, it probably almost goes without saying, to grow up in his family and to have that kind of tutelage.
One, since I was a young kid, I knew I was going to be a quarterback. You know, it plays a big advantage. I was a quarterback since I was 5, playing flag football, going to their football games, playing on the sidelines, sitting in on their meetings, learning cover 2, cover 3 when I was 7 years old, you know? And then I just built off of that until now, you know? And then look at me, I'm playing in the Trinity League, the Orange Lutheran, and Kelly and Tyler played at their respective schools, and it's been helpful for me, for sure.
What's the goal, getting in here now? Obviously, this season, you know, playoff team a year ago, but obviously, I'm sure you guys talk about it as teammates, you know, bigger goals, right?
Yeah, I know coming in last year, a lot of guys are a little shaky on the season we were going to have. You know, a new quarterback, a couple new guys coming in, a new offensive coordinator. We were a little shaky. We had a good year, but we didn't have the year we wanted to have. But every year I look forward to, you know, winning every single game we can. End goal is to play in an Angel Stadium, you know, and then eventually playing at Sacramento State Stadium, you know, winning state, doing everything I can with the guys. And I honestly think we have the opportunity to do that with the guys we have in here. With the new coaching staff, I for sure think we have an opportunity to do that.
How excited are you that it's football season? You guys are back on the field. I know it's hot. It's still summer, but how exciting is it to be back in pads?
Really exciting, actually. We've been waiting for a long time ever since season ended last year, so to get into pads.
Do you guys talk a lot as teammates in the off season about what you want to do, you know, the next season coming up and how excited you are to get back in there?
Yeah, well, a big thing that we were talking about off season was just to go further than last year. You know, we got kicked out first round. We don't want to repeat the same thing. Want to go at least further in hopefully state.
You excited about the offense this year?
Yes, sir. Really exciting to have a good offense coming back. I mean, last year's offense was good too, but I think this offense is good for the people that we have, the personnel that we have.
I'll ask this question in two parts. First of all, what are you working on individually to make yourself better, to be a better offensive lineman for this offense?
Well, I kind of moved positions from last year. They were putting me at tackle this year. So I'm working on a lot of footwork since it's changed from tackle to guard and trying to get faster so I can keep up with the ends and outside linebackers.
A lot of people might think, what's the big deal? I mean, you're just switching down the line, maybe one or two spots. But explain to us, you know, how much different it is to go from an inside spot to maybe, you know, playing outside on tackle.
A big difference is, like, the space that you have. Like, in guard, you have the tackle in your center to each side of you to help you out. But on tackle, it's either inside with your guard or by yourself outside unless you have a tight end out there. So it's a lot of space for the defender to have when you're going against them one-on-one.
And then part two, how well is the unit working together as a whole, the entire offensive line?
It's working good. We have a young line, but a lot of them, they came up together, you know, so they already know each other. Just me, I'm one of, like, the returners from last year, so, but it's still good. We all love each other.
Do you like having that responsibility of knowing that if you do your job and everybody does their job, you got a great quarterback back there who's going to make some really good plays?
Yeah, yeah. It's a you kind of feel good when you know you did your job well, because you know that the person behind us will really do his well too.
It's awesome to be out here with my brothers and just working and competing.
Is it getting to be the dog days of summer? Or are you guys ready to chop it at the bit to find looking at an opponent rather than looking at each other?
Yeah, we can't wait for La Mirada, but it's still fun to be out here. Just competing.
Are you seeing the work pay off now? Or are you starting to see, you know, guys, you know, just sort of getting it now and it's all sort of kind of falling into place?
It's starting to. We just had our D coordinator leave, so it's fun learning the new stuff, but it's also fun still having the foundation that we still had.
Yeah, well, you know, obviously the defense sets a tone a lot on a football team, and we know how good this offense is going to be here. You know, how much pride do you take in the fact that, hey, you want this defense to make a name for itself too, right?
The defense definitely will make a name for itself. It's always fun competing against the best because we have such a good offense right now. So it's always fun competing against the best in practice and just working.
Right. You take a leadership role with this team. How much pride do you take in that?
It's very important. It's just try to keep everyone together, try to bring the guys that are out on the edge into full-on being committed.
How important is it to build off last year? I know you guys have bigger goals in mind, right?
Yeah. Losing to Rancho was tough, but we always have next year, and it's always important to strive forward and see what we could do this year.
We're on track. You know, the coaches are giving us like positive things to keep us up and keep working.
Do you guys talk a lot on defense about setting the tone for this team? We know how good the offense is going to be, but it's important that this defense, you know, comes to play as well.
Yeah, you know, we set like a very aggressive tone. You know, like defense is, you got to be aggressive, so that's the tone we set.
Right now it's fun, flying around on the field, hanging out in the locker room, lifting with teammates that you call brothers. It's a fun time. It's just playing football together, friends.
Yeah, I noticed you got a big smile on your face. You guys are having a lot of fun. It's hot outside, but it's important, right, to make this a fun game. There's a lot of pressure in it, but it's important to go out and have fun, right?
Yeah, I think it's very important to have fun. I mean, when it gets on the field, helmet on, chin strap buckled, it's serious. We all take it serious, but when we're outside of football, we like to hang out, have fun together.
People talk so much about, you know, there's the defensive unit and there's the offensive unit. Do the defensive guys, you know, mix with the offensive guys sometimes?
Yeah, we like to get mixed up a little. I mean, we don't really like the offensive guys. Being a defensive guy, we like to hit. We like to mix it up.
You're excited to strap it up and get La Mirada here in a couple weeks.
Yeah, we're ready for La Mirada.
One more quick break right here on Catholic Sports View. Right around the corner, we're going to have some snippets from the press conference of the opening of the Great Park Sports Park out in the city of Irvine. Stay tuned. Much more right after this break right here on Immaculate Heart Radio. Catholic Sports View. Well, Saturday, August 5th marked the opening of the Great Park Sports Park, a joint venture of Five Point Developers and the City of Irvine. And the opening was a chance for Southern California residents to check out the brand new 2,500-seat championship soccer stadium, as well as sand volleyball courts, state-of-the-art tennis facilities, and multi-use fields, all a part of the 53-acre park. Well, many dignitaries were on hand, including soccer legends Landon Donovan, Brad Friedel, and Amy Rodriguez, as well as a slew of political notables, many of whom had a hand in the making of this sports park, in making it a reality. Well, during the press conference the day before the official opening, we heard all about the magnificent project from Five Point Chief Communications Officer Steve Churm. Then we heard from Irvine Mayor Don Wagner, as well as Five Point CEO Emil Haddad.
This is truly a historic moment for the city of Irvine, for the region, and frankly for California as we prepare to unveil phase one of this magnificent, magnificent new sports park, a civic amenity that we know will be enjoyed for generations to come. In a little more than 24 hours from now, this 53-acre complex, the first phase of the sports park, will be filled with thousands of young athletes, families, and excitement as the public will spend an afternoon and evening experiencing this marvelous park for the very first time. It is now my pleasure to introduce an individual who in less than a year in office has tackled some of the most important issues facing this city with an energy, a decisiveness, and a passion that has been widely applauded. Ladies and gentlemen, it is my pleasure to bring to the microphone former Assemblyman and now the Mayor of Irvine, Mr. Don Wagner.
I guess I'm the public part of this wonderful public-private partnership. I don't have any remarks prepared. Usually that doesn't stop me, and I came into this facility, which frankly it's the first time I've actually been inside here, and find myself virtually speechless. The virtual is important. I will. I do have a couple of remarks, but as I look around, I just can't be more proud of the work that the city has done and the work that has been accomplished in this public-private partnership with our great partners, the master developer of this 53 acres and so much more, our friends at Five Points. So I'm really thrilled to be here on behalf of all of my colleagues from the city council. It is a great day, and it is in just the eve of an even greater day where we finally get a chance to cut the ribbon and unveil what has been promised for so long by lots of folks publicly, lots of folks in the private sphere, promised to the citizens of Irvine and to the citizens of Orange County. Tomorrow, we are going to have the public here to realize on those promises. Today, you get a bit of a sneak peek. Hope it whets your appetite to come on back and see everybody enjoying the first phase. And that's important because we truly do have a vision for so much more that we can provide to the public in this space. We've got so many more acres, so many more ideas, and so many more opportunities to develop absolutely first-rate facilities. I can't wait to get this place open tomorrow, and then right around the corner is the Ducks Ice facility, and right around the corner is the interim amphitheater, and hopefully soon to follow it, the permanent amphitheater, and right around the corner is so much more that we and our friends at Five Points have got planned. So, enjoy today. Thank you for coming out today and realize this is just the start of something I think is going to be absolutely awesome. Thank you all. Steve.
Much of what you see around us today, including the Grand Soccer Stadium, the largest soccer-specific venue in Orange County now, is his dream becoming a reality. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome the chairman and CEO of Five Point, the company that has funded and built the sports park, a man who in his younger days was an accomplished soccer player, at least that's what he tells me, ladies and gentlemen, Emil Haddad.
Accomplished is very subjective. Good morning. Thanks, Mayor Wagner, for your kind words, for your partnership. But for us, same as the mayor, I don't have anything prepared. I'd like to really give enough time for Q&A. But today and tomorrow are days that are going to be very special for us. They're very exciting. We, as a company, are extremely proud of what has been done here, the partnership we have with Irvine. A lot of it has been said about the great park and whether it'll happen or not. I personally stood from the podium at a council hearing a few years ago, and I committed that if we were given the opportunity to build this, that we would finish all of the first 688 acres inside 5 years. The construction started on this facility about 18 months ago. So what you are seeing here is 18 months of work, and I can assure you that we will be inside the 5 years. And for those who were talking about whether the Great Park will be built or not, I'm here to tell you it will be built. And not only it will be built, it will be built to the standard that Irvine is known for. And hopefully as you go through the facilities today and as you walk through the field, you will agree that this actually measures up to what Irvine is known for. For us, the excitement not comes because we're building fields, because we build a lot of things as a company. But the excitement comes from, as Steve said, a place where relationships will be built, where connections of people will happen. On this soccer field, a champion will be born. Somebody who will be watching on TV one day, like Oscar and others, who will become professionals. On this field and in these facilities, friendships will be built for life. This is what this means for us. It's all about people. At the end of the day, fields are fields, but what fields provide in terms of people's relationship is what's more important, and that's what gets us excited. So enjoy the day. Hopefully you come back tomorrow. I can tell you that tomorrow is going to be a very emotional day for me personally, because this has been a long path to get here. But tomorrow is not the end. Tomorrow is the beginning of what's going to become one of the best amenities in the whole world. So thank you for coming, and open to Q&A.
After the press conference, I had the chance to visit one-on-one with Mayor Wagner and Mr. Haddad.
You know, you mentioned in your remarks that you obviously work on a lot of projects, you know, Five Points involved in so many different things. Originally, something like this starts out as a picture on a piece of paper or on a computer screen, but
before that, it starts actually as an image in the mind.
Right, exactly. Can you describe the excitement of seeing the reality of something when you first walk in and see it in its, you know, real form?
Look, that's what I love about what I do, is the product is, has an emotional side to it. And as I said, the thing that's going to be emotional tomorrow is to see actually kids enjoy this facility and people's reaction, and parents get teary-eyed when somebody scores a goal. I mean, that's what it's all about, that for me.
Perfect. And that's my follows up into my question for you, Mayor, is that obviously, you know, your job is to represent the residents here of Irvine and Orange County in general now that are going to come use this. When you see those parents and those kids, their wide eyes when they see the reality of this, you know, how's that going to feel for you?
Well, that's what it's all about. You know, one gets into public service and spends, you know, kind of some long hours reading some dry documents and going to meetings. At the end of the day, it's all because of the folks that are out there living in the community that you are privileged to live in and want to make better. And when you get a chance, especially with the kids, to watch these kids just walk in, and all of them have watched soccer on television, all of them have played in these fields around the town, and I can imagine walking in as a kid seeing this facility, and it would just be like, you know, your first trip to, almost like your first trip to Disneyland, mm-hmm. it would seem. I mean, it was amazing when I walked in here, and I am old and jaded. When these kids do it, it's just magic. So I can't wait for tomorrow.
Yeah, perfect.
The all-day event ended with a free concert starring the legendary Blues Brothers Dan Aykroyd and Jim Belushi. When all is complete, the park will be 2.5 times the size of Disneyland. It's also slated to see the opening of a baseball stadium, softball fields, and a temporary amphitheater that will eventually give way to a permanent facility. If you'd like more information on all the stuff going on out at the Great Park Sports Park, visit www.greatparkneighborhoods.com. That will wrap up Catholic Sports View for this week. If you'd like to catch a replay of this show or any of the others in our library, simply log on to OCCatholic.com/radio, and you can check out all the podcasts that are archived right there on that site. My name is Bob Gibson. We thank you once again for joining us this week on Catholic Sports View, where athletics beats faith, on Immaculate Heart Radio.
Win a trip to the Holy Land. Simply subscribe to Sunday delivery of OC Catholic and the OC Register, and you'll be automatically entered to win. No purchase necessary to enter. Travel to some of Christianity's most important sites. This inspirational tour is truly a vacation of a lifetime. All you have to do is subscribe to Sunday delivery of OC Catholic and the OC Register, and you'll automatically be entered to win. Visit OCCatholic-subscribe.com. ChristFest 2017, a Christian music festival featuring Mac Powell from Third Day.
And I'll show you what love sees when love sees you.
Shane and Shane. Rush of Fools and more. Saturday, September 9th at Christ Cathedral in Garden Grove. Honoring Sir Bruno Serrato and feeding OC kids. ChristFest 2017. Presented by St. Joseph Health and Farmers and Merchants Bank. All info at ChristFestOC.com. See Mac Powell from Third Day. Shane and Shane. Rush of Fools. Ike Indolo. La Cervis. Jimmy Crabity and Adam Bitter. Saturday, September 9th at Christ Cathedral in Garden Grove. Honoring Sir Bruno Serrato and feeding OC kids. Chef Bruno, what say you?
Please come. You come to see me on that event is like you helped me to feed in a child.
Get your tickets and more info now at ChristFestOC.com.